Hello and welcome. This is Sharon bringing you the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, February 26th, 2025. We'll begin our reading on the front page with the Eats of the Week column. The Pantograph each week will profile a different bar or restaurant in the Eats of the Week column. If you'd like to submit a restaurant or bar, please email ojacobs@pantograph.com with your suggestion. Best desserts in the world. Longtime nurse finds her next passion at Crumble Cookies. Stacy Olson worked as a nurse for 30 years before turning her sweet tooth for cupcakes and bundt cakes into a new career as a franchise owner with Crumble Cookies. Olson, who now works for Crumble full-time as an operations director, owns the Normal store at 309 Veterans Parkway, along with her husband, J.D., who works full-time at State Farm, and her sister and her brother-in-law, Diana and Ted Brown, who live in Texas. The site opened in December 2022 in the former Cold Stone Creamery location at the Shops at College Hills. Crumble started as a franchise in Logan, Utah, by two cousins who wanted to be entrepreneurs. They started with a single chocolate chip cookie recipe from one of their mothers. Today, there are over 1,000 stores featuring a rotating menu of 5 to 6 cookies a week and other desserts. Olson said she's not sure why Crumble, C-R-U-M-B-L, is spelled without the E at the end, but thinks it was a gimmick to make the name memorable. The chain is also known for its slogan, bringing friends and family together over the best desserts in the world. Olson said her sister helped her open the franchise, as she has a master's degree in business administration. Her brother-in-law, Ted, helps to run some of the behind-the-scenes business things, such as the taxes and reporting. We found that the franchise was solid and had a good business plan, and it just seemed like a kind of fun thing to do to finish out my career, Olson said. Normal is quite the food town. We're always very interested in the newest foods. This week's Crumble flavors available through Saturday include butter cake, French silk pie, milk chocolate chip, Biscoff lava cookie, strawberry cupcake, banana caramel, and red velvet white chip. Some of the most popular flavors overall include the key lime pie, iced oatmeal, and tres leches cake, a new offering that's been a big hit. The cookies are often sold in packs of 6 or 12. Olson said some of her favorite cookie flavors are cinnamon roll, cookie dough, the ones with a peanut butter base, and the Biscoff cookies. A couple of times a year, Crumble offers a 6-pack of cookies for the price of 4. They also have a feature called Hometown Picks, where customers can vote through the Crumble app on a cookie to be offered for the week. Last week's Hometown Pick was cinnamon roll, and these are usually available for a few weeks before changing to another cookie flavor. This week's Hometown Pick is the Cookie Dough Bits, which are edible chocolate chip cookie dough bites packaged in a bag to go. We've had really good luck with our employees. Honestly, the crew is super friendly with all the customers, Olson said, of what customers enjoy about the store. We have many crew members who have been with us since the beginning, which has been really nice. I do think that the aesthetics of the store keep people coming back, the ease of purchasing through the app. Something unique to the Normal store, Olson said, is that she takes their leftover cookies at the end of the night and delivers them the next morning to local nursing homes, the police and fire departments, and other businesses as much as possible to avoid wasting the cookies. The store is required to have fresh cookies through the time it closes, which is why they often have leftovers. Olson said it has been a rewarding experience to meet other members of the community, including other business owners, and to work with young people, too. Olson said the number of cookies sold each day can vary from 900 to 2,000. During the week of Valentine's Day, Olson said the store sold nearly 8,000 large cookies and 2,600 mini cookies. The mini cookies used to be Crumbles catering cookies, but became available for regular sale about 8 months ago. The normal Crumble crew begins their mornings at 7 a.m. to turn on the ovens and start baking cookies. They also have an overnight crew that works several nights a week, and they do a lot of the mixing. The dough needs to be bought, if you will. It's not really frozen, it's fresh, but it needs to be warmed and then baked. And the cookies are only allowed to be in the warmer for a couple of hours each day. The warm cookies, so all day our employees are refreshing and they're just prepping for the day, Olson explained. So we're always working a couple of days ahead, but the cookies are always baked that day. Olson said they have customers coming from Champaign and Springfield to the normal store, even though those cities have stores of their own. As of Friday, February 21st, Crumble in Normal was ranked number 7 in Illinois for sales and is in roughly the top 15% of all the Crumble stores. I just hope to continue as we're going. Honestly, to be a place where people can come and get a treat for the day or get something for a family event. Also, to be a great employer for the community, a place where kids know that they can come, work, and be accepted and learn skills as employees, Olson said of her hopes and goals for the future. I appreciate the fact that I've had people that do great, want to be here, and are great with our customers. If you go, again, this business is called Crumble Cookies, located at 309 Veterans Parkway, Suite 405 in Normal. Their hours are 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and they're closed on Sundays. To reach them by telephone, you can call 309-204-0040. And visit their website at crumblecookies.com. Community, police, man killed 3, self in home. Hundreds gather for vigil, decry domestic violence. Family and friends of the 3 people who police say were fatally shot by a man who then killed himself on Sunday say they want those who are experiencing domestic violence to know they are not alone. I just lost my sister and my nephew to domestic violence, Amber Thompson said Monday night, speaking to a crowd of neighbors, classmates, friends, and relatives who came together for a candlelight vigil. My nieces lost their mom and their brother and their Titi to domestic violence. If you're in a situation of domestic violence, please get out, she said, speaking from the steps of the Lee Street home where her loved ones were found. It's not worth it. Authorities said evidence indicates that Christopher H. Simons, 33, of Bloomington, killed Chelsea L. Lusher, 31, of Bloomington, who was his girlfriend, Armoni L. Bennett, 13, of Bloomington, who was Lusher's son, Trina J. Hollings, 31, of Normal, who was Lusher's friend. They were publicly identified late Monday in a news release issued after the vigil by the Bloomington Police Department and the McLean County Coroner's Office. The 4 were pronounced dead at 12:27 p.m. Sunday, February 23rd, in the 900 block of North Lee Street after another resident came home, found the scene and immediately called police, authorities said. Police have not disclosed who lived at the house. A preliminary investigation and autopsy results suggested Simons died from a self-inflicted single gunshot wound to the head, and the others died from multiple gunshot wounds, and no other injuries were noted. Toxicology testing is pending for all four, the news release stated. Prior to the identification of the victims, Bloomington District 87 had confirmed the death of an eighth grader who has now been identified as Armoni Bennett. Our thoughts and prayers are with the student's family and loved ones during this difficult time, Superintendent David Mouser said in a statement, noting the district would provide extra emotional support and counseling services for junior high and high school students. We are working closely with the authorities, and we will continue to provide any necessary support to our students, staff, and community during this tragic time, he added. Thompson, who was Lusher's sister and Bennett's aunt, and other family members, noted the teen's bright future, including his involvement with various extracurriculars such as choir, volleyball, track, and student council. That was the next president, Thompson said. In a statement Tuesday, Holling's family called her a beloved spirit whose presence in our lives was a true gift. To know Trina was to know the life of the party. She was a true light in our lives. Trina had a unique way of making each one of us feel valued and important, said Jacob Robinson, a close friend of Holling's, speaking on behalf of her family in a statement. On behalf of the Holling's family, we would like to thank everyone for reaching out during this unimaginable time. Your prayers and support have been deeply felt and appreciated. Not only did we lose Trina, we are also grieving the loss of Chelsea and Armoni. We are praying for the families and friends who have been impacted by this tragedy. Those gathered Monday night heard speeches and prayers from the victims' loved ones and held moments of silence before bundles of balloons were released into the air and candles were placed on the curb in front of the home. Another family member echoed Thompson's words, urging other people who are plagued by domestic violence to seek help from their communities, friends, and families. If you guys got domestic violence going on, please say something, a man who identified himself as a brother of one of the victims said. The pantograph was unable to get his name before he left the vigil. We have got to stop this right now, a man identified only as a brother of one of the victims said. Let's talk to our neighbors. The Hollings family encouraged anyone experiencing domestic violence to reach out to the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233 or visit thehotline.org for help. The firearm used in this homicide was found at the scene under Simon's body, police said. It was legally purchased by Simon's in 2021, the release stated, but sometime later, Simon's Illinois firearm owner's identification card was revoked, prohibiting him from legally possessing or purchasing firearms. Bryce Jansen, spokesman for the Bloomington Police Department, said on Tuesday the department has not found any evidence of a domestic violence offense in Simon's history. The department is reviewing his history to determine why he could not legally own a firearm. However, the implementation of a new Illinois law, commonly known as Karina's Bill, may provide some safety to victims of domestic violence in the future. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed House Bill 4144 on February 10th, which requires law enforcement agencies to remove firearms from people who have had their FOID revoked because of a restraining order or order of protection. McLean County State's Attorney Erica Reynolds recently told the Pantograph the county is working on enhancing these protections for survivors of domestic violence. Bloomington Police Chief Jamal Symington issued a statement Monday night. Our entire department mourns because of the unfortunate loss of life in our community, he said. We stand for all who were victimized and offer our thoughts and prayers. Life is so precious, and we will remain anchored in justice and working with the community to enhance the quality of life here in Bloomington, he said. He commended the work of investigators working on the case and acknowledged that few details were made public in the hours after the deaths were discovered. We appreciate the community's patience as we worked diligently with our public safety partners and the community to gather facts prior to releasing details, he said. This slight delay is necessary and out of respect for justice and the families of the victims. The circumstances behind this incident remain under investigation by the Bloomington Police Department and the McLean County Coroner's Office. Anyone with information is asked to contact Detective Kevin Racebeck at 309-434-2593 or Cracebeck at citybloom.org. Following the vigil, a Pantograph reporter and photographer attempted to speak with family members individually. All present family members declined further comment. Families of the Lusher and Hollings families have set up GoFundMe fundraisers to help support their families, including Hollings' mother and Lusher's surviving children. You can find the Hollings family fundraiser by going to gofund.me/CBB026A0. You can find the Lushers fundraiser at gofund.me/0E514A7E. How to get help if you are experiencing or know of someone experiencing domestic violence or domestic abuse. The Bloomington Police Department encourages you to reach out to your local police department or a local domestic violence organization. A 24-hour domestic violence hotline is available by calling 309-827-7070. To learn more about additional local domestic violence community resources, visit 211illinois.org. Downtown Bloomington, city to acquire former bank. Ex-Commerce Bank may be housing, sites nearby to be raised. Downtown Bloomington will see one vacant historic building change hands and others demolished in the near future. But the changes will allow for the addition of 137 parking spaces and the prospect of a new housing development. On Monday, the Bloomington City Council approved two agreements. One with Consolidated Properties LLC to accept the former Commerce Bank building at 120 North Center Street as a donation to the city, and one with Catalyst Construction to demolish three vacant properties south and west of the former bank to add surface parking at a cost of about $3.9 million. The seven-story Commerce Bank building was built in 1909 and has sat vacant for the last 12 years. The city's goal would be to transform the building into secure housing using tax credits, but no firm plans are on the table. The Catalyst Agreement would give the city title to three properties: the front and center building at 102 North Center Street, the adjacent DUI countermeasures building at 110 North Center Street, and the Elks Club building across the street to the west at 110 North Madison Street. The front and center building once was the Montgomery Ward department store and saw several businesses come and go before sitting vacant for the last 17 years. It was condemned by the City of Bloomington's safety inspectors in February 2024 after receiving 53 building and safety code violations. As a result, the city filed action in administrative court against the building's owners, seeking $314,000 in fines and interest, plus additional daily charges. Although all three buildings are targeted for demolition, a portion of the Elks Club building, which has been vacant for the last 13 years, will be preserved to honor its historic significance. Once demolition is finished and passes the necessary inspections, the city would purchase the properties from the contractor at a cost of about $3.9 million. The project is estimated to be completed by December 31st, 2025. Several members of the public expressed concerns about such a heavy investment into downtown when other problems like the city's drinking water still exist. Noah Tang of Bloomington Revivalists, a local strong towns organization, said the city is about to spend millions of dollars on a project that is likely to generate little to no property tax revenue. Our downtown needs to remain a destination, and that cannot happen if more and more of it is flattened for the placelessness of suburban-style parking lots, Tang said. City Manager Jeff Juergens said the city agrees with a lot of the concerns residents have about the project. For years, the city has attempted to get these targeted properties redeveloped, but because of their overall condition, there was never a proposal that made sense financially. Juergens added that parking was not the ideal solution for development, and the hope is that it won't be a permanent solution. We do not want this to be surface parking for very long at all, Juergens said. Even the developers do not want this to be surface parking. In the meantime, Juergens said the lot would be monetized via parking fees to recuperate some of the investment. The city council approved the agreements without opposition. Alderman Michael Mosley was absent. Today's Flick Fact question: what age group owns the most homes in Bloomington Normal? Is it baby boomers, born between 1946 and 1964, Generation X, born between 1965 and 1980, or Millennials, born between 1981 and 1984? And the answer: even if baby boomers only make up 18.4% of Bloomington Normal's metropolitan population, they make up 31.1% of homeowners. That's according to the U.S. Census and Zillow. Gen X is next at 29.8% of the homeowners, and Millennials at 25.9% of homeowners. And from the back pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, February 26, 1925. Bloomington is soon to have a new banking institution is evidenced by the fact that the promoters have already established offices and the sale of shares is already underway. The prime mover is State Senator Erastus D. Telford of Salem, Illinois. The new financial concern will be known as the Farmers Merchants National Bank of Bloomington. 75 years ago, on February 26, 1950, less than 100 tons of coal can be found in Bloomington Normal coal yards. Representatives of 10 coal firms said in a crisis meeting on Saturday. The thing is just out of our hands now, one of the coal dealers said. It's developed into a community catastrophe. 50 years ago, February 26, 1975, using barbed satire aimed at sexist hypocrisy and politics, feminist comics Pat Harrison and Robin Tyler delighted a student crowd of about 400 at Illinois State University on Tuesday night. The controversial comedy team, once thrown out of Vietnam for giving an anti-war skit during a USO show, spared no one in their often bawdy criticism. "We're not anti-men, just anti-myth," said Harrison, who gave up a $50,000 modeling career in New York because she refused to be an object. And 25 years ago today, February 26, 2000, Bloomington police have no suspects in the Friday afternoon robbery of National City Bank at 1500 West Market Street. A witness said he saw a man wearing a mask similar to the one worn in the movie Scream run away from the bank. Bloomington's five-day forecast, it will be windy and mild today with a couple of showers. You can expect 2 to 4 hours of sunshine with a 85% chance of precipitation and a high temperature of 52 degrees. Tonight will be breezy and there will be a low temperature of 32 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, windy with a chance of a brief shower, temperatures between 48 and 28 degrees. Friday will be very windy. There will be a mixture of clouds and sun, and the temperatures will be between 56 and 33 degrees. Saturday continued cloudy, windy, and cooler. The high temperature will be 43 and the low 23. And then on Sunday, it will be sunny. The high temperature will be 44 degrees and the low will be 24 degrees. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, February 26th, 2025. Please stay tuned.